even start that. Anyway. So whatever the din is by Achsanai would be the same din by chometz right. of a Nachri. So what we're basically saying is that the Shach first wanted to learn Pshat in the Hilchos Chaim that it's going to come out a big kula by Hilchos Chametz Umatzah, meaning the Rashba won't let you go on the same table with the Nachri no matter what, because we're afraid of a crumb of his chametz falling into your food. Mashenkin, during the rest of the year, a hecker is going to be good enough. Right? By the way, it's important to keep in mind that the hecker has to be something legitimate. Right? Somebody told me that there was a minig going around by Bnei Torah that when there's two times, as far as I know, when you need a hecker on the table. One is when you have basar b'chalav at the same table, and the other one is when your wife is a nida. So somebody told me that the hecker that people were using was that they would take their keys and they would put the keys on the table. So if you look in the Nosei Kelim on the Shulchan Aruch, it's poshut that that's not acceptable. You have to have something which is visible. It's visible and it's a little bit out of place. So it has to. If you put your keys on the table, it's quite possible that you don't. It's neither visible nor out of place. So placemats, that's already the lashon of the Shulchan Aruch is beferish that you could have a hefsek mapa. So that's considered a valid hecker. But in terms of a chatzitza, something you want to put something in between the person eating the basar and eating the chalav, so there it has to be something which is visible, something which is very much noticeable. The keys on the table is not going to really do anything.
Do you need a hecker and a chatzitza? Or just
no, one or the other. One or the other, yeah. If you're going to put something on the table, right? So in general, and also obviously, if by hilchos basar b'chalav, it has to be recognizable that one placemat is a milchik placemat and one placemat is a fleishik placemat. Nothing to do with whether or not there's milchiks or fleishiks on the placemat itself. It just has to be recognizable that we're eating on two different types of placemats, not or one person's eating on a placemat and one is not. Has to be a clear difference between the basar and the chalav.
Like the placemat says meat or dairy?
Or in your house, so the green placemat. In my house, the brown placemats are for fleishiks, and the green placemats are for milchiks. So it has to be recognizable.
And both people have to use it?
No, one person one can just person be on the table, and one person can be on a placemat.
Okay,
and the same thing for hilchos nida also. The post can point out that if you have... the fact that each one is eating on a separate placemat is not acceptable unless they're it's recognizable, meaning in my house whenever anybody eats anything they use a placemat. So the fact that the husband and the wife are eating on different placemats, but it's not any different than what would be under normal circumstances, so then that doesn't do anything. It has to be a recognizable hefsek. Anyway, so that's the din of two bnei adam, one's eating basar on the table, one's eating chalav on the table, where the Rashba says, none of that helps if it's a nachri abayim chemtzel abayis Yisrael. None of that helps. If a nachri comes with his chametz to your house, you cannot be at the same table with him. You could have a hefsek mapa. It's not going to do you any good because we're afraid of actual chametz coming into your food. Whereas the Orchos Chaim doesn't say that. The Orchos Chaim says, whatever the regular rules of Achsanai, that's what would take effect. So at first, the Shach wants to learn that that's both a kula and a chumra. Meaning it's a big kula, obviously, for Pesach, that you're allowed to eat at the same table as a goy. And you just have to have the normal rules. And it sounds like if you don't know the goy, so then you could eat on the table, he could eat on the table, because there's no chashash whatsoever that you're going to wind up taking some of his food. Because when it was last time, you were sitting in a public park or whatever, and some guy sits on the same table as you, on the other end, and all of a sudden you wind up sharing. It's not going to happen, right? The Shulchan Aruch says that if you know each other, even if normally you don't allow any sharing, it's still considered a problem. It's a low plug that we don't allow you to sit at the same table without any type of a hefsik or a hecker if one of you is eating bus and one of you is eating kol. But for a nachri, if you don't know the guy, there's no chashash whatsoever. So it's a big kula legabe chametz, and so too legabe, But on the flip side, it sounds from there that the din of Achsanai would apply to Macholos Asurus as well. Meaning, if the guy sits down and he's having chazer and you're having whatever, regular kosher meat, so then this guy, normally, we would assume, does not need any kind of a hefsek, doesn't it? He's eating Isser, you're eating Heter. What's the havamin that you're going to take from him? But the Orchos Chaim was saying that no, there's a din Achsanai that applies, whatever the regular rules of Basar and Chalav, they're also going to apply to this guy. Because based on his statement by Chametz on Pesach, which is Isser, So we assume that that would carry over. So the Shach says, nah, it's not really true. He said, really, this is just a one-time deal of chametz being lo b'dili minei, and also because of alalechem yichyeh adam. Two reasons why the Orchos Chaim is being more machmir by chametz than he would have been by other isurim. That's the point. He's saying,
when is he being machmir? Didn't we just say that he's...
No, so he's more makel than the Rashba. He doesn't. So he's basically saying the Orchos Chaim is not looking at a Nachri in a new light. It's nothing to do with that. For everything else, he holds just like we would have assumed that a Nachri that's eating Isser, there is a big kula for that. That doesn't require any type of a heker between the Isser and the Heter. We're not going to say that there's a Havamina that you're going to reach over and grab some of his Isser and start eating it, right? So the whole thing was just whether or not he agrees with the Chumrah of the Rashba. And the answer is he doesn't agree with the Chumrah of the Rashba. He says that there's no reason to assume that chametz, a crumb of chametz, is going to fall into your matzah.
It's not. He said it's okay.
Right, but don't then, so the Shach is just saying, don't then take that and say that the Orchos Chaim has a new way of looking at an achri, different than what we've been saying all along. He's saying this is just a Chumrah. The din that he requires achsenai, the same rules as achsenai by chametz, that's all because we have the two reasons of Tosfos. I mean, we have one reason of Tosfos, and we also have the svar of alechem yechia adam. Tosfos says that chametz is lo bedili in ishmineh, and therefore we're more choshish that you're going to reach over and take some of his bread. And second of all, bread is bread, and it has a staple status, and we're therefore extra choshish for bread. But if the guy is eating chazer and you're eating kosher, then we don't have a chashash that there is a requirement of a heker in normal circumstances.
Even when it is an achsenai, you don't know each
other. Achsenai means that you either do or don't know each other. I'm saying, like, generally we assume achsenai doesn't know each other, but then the Shulchan Aruch continues and says, but if they know each other, they need to have sigmapa, they need a heker, whatever it is. Right? That's, in other words, achsenai just means whatever regular rules apply. Normally, we would have assumed that when it comes to Isser and Heter, there's no rules of achsenai, just everybody should eat at the table. I mean, obviously, you have to take whatever measures are necessary to make sure that the food doesn't get into your food. That's pashut. But normally, we don't assume that people are just going to start flinging food across the table that it's going to fall into your food. But the Rashba has that assumption by chametz. So what comes out of it is that the Orchos Chaim, the Shach wants to say, is the normal pshat. He's basically saying that normally when it comes to Isser, you don't require any heker whatsoever, because there's no chashash you're going to take from somebody else's Isser and put it into your heter. But by chametz, since it's lo bedili minei, and because of alechem yechia adam, you need a heker.
If you know each other.
No, always. Yeah, whatever. I'm sorry. You're correct. The regular dinim of achsenai applies, so you would need a heker if you know each other. And the Rashba has his own chumrah. The Rashba and the Mechaber Paskin's like that chumrah. Saying the Rashba has his own chumrah, where he just says that when it comes to chametz, you can't eat chametz at the same table as matzah on Pesach because we're afraid of a crumb is going to come into your food.
So Orchos Chaim would say that in a case of, say, non-chametz cases, dinim of achsenai would not apply. He's totally makel for everything.
Right. Okay. Whatever. And that was what the Shach was assuming all along. So the Shach first brought in the Orchos Chaim as this oddball shita that's makel when it comes to chametz against the Rashba, but that same kula makes him machmir by other isurim all over the place. And then in the end he says, by other isurim he holds like we would have expected that he holds, that you don't need anything. But by chametz, so it's lo b'dili minei, so you have to be more careful. That was basically, I think, how it came out. Okay, so let's go back to Tosfos. Tosfos in the first half works on disproving Rashi in terms of Rashi's statement that the reason we do bedikas chametz is shelo yavor alav bebayira ubayimatze. So Tosfos says, I don't understand how bedikas chametz is helping in any way with bayira ubayimatze. This is because we have already a Gemara in Vav Amid Beis that says that there was a takana that habodik tzarech sheivata. And we have another Gemara in Daf Dalet which says, bebitul ba'al masagi. So you're definitely not going to violate Bayirah, Bayimatzeh, if you were mevatel the chametz. and you're going to have to be mevatel the chametz anyway. And therefore, Tosa says there's no way that bitul chametz, that bedikas chametz and bir chametz is coming to solve the problem of bayir al bayir matzei. And then he brings another raya from Kikar b'shmei Korah, that it sounds like what's really the pshat. V'nira l'ri is going back. V'nira l'ri the afal gav the sagi bebitul ba'alma hechmiru chachamim livdok chametz ulevarish lo yavol ochlo. The chachamim required that you go ahead and get rid of your chametz and destroy it so that you don't come to eat it. That's the real chashash when it comes to bedikas chametz, that it's shelo yavo la'ochlo. So this is the famous machlokis Rashi Tosas, whether or not the ikir chashash is shelo yavo la'ochlo or shelo yavor ba'yiroi ba'yimatzi. So the Ran is the major commentary in this machlokis. He gets involved in a lengthy discussion. You guys get a chance to see this, Ran? So if you didn't, some did, some didn't. No, you didn't see. All right, so let's go inside in the Ran then, because it's Kedai. So we're going to, he repeats himself a few times, but maybe we'll pick it up from right before the lines get wide.
Divra Maschel
Harei She'amra Torah. It's Aleph Amid Aleph, Divra Maschel Harei She'amra Torah. So he says, Harei She'amra Torah, Bayom HaRishon Tashbishtu Se'or Mibateichem, Ve'amra Be'gemar, Demin Dorais Ve'bitl Ba'al Masagi. V'nafgalon Midichsiv Tashbisu, V'loksiv Tivaru. O Tisrafu, Ke'inyin Shepiresh Ba'avodas Kochavim. Right? When it comes to Avodah Zarah, it doesn't say Tashbisu. What does it say? Hashcheis srof v'chale. Right? You have to destroy it, you have to burn it, you have to eradicate it. Kedivrei Rashi Zal. V'targum Unkel is Tashbisu tivatlun. So Rashi, when the Gemara says, v'bitl ba'al masagile, says we learn out bitl from the word Tashbisu. And Unkelus agrees. Unkelus says the word, he literally translates the word Tashbisu as tivatlun. The word Tashbisu is what's the shorish of the word Tashbisu? Right, Shin Bei's tough, right? It should give it a sabbatical. Right? It should have a Shabbos, right? So you should somehow put the chametz to rest. But it doesn't mean that you have to destroy it. Doesn't mean you have to physically annihilate it. And that's what Unkelus says. Tashbisu actually means bittel, inami, or else nafkal amirichsev lo yiroi lecha. Kedivir Rabbosinu at Sarfatim, like the Baliyat Tosfos, which says there's an iser bayira bayimatzei. So we learn out that there's a concept that you could be mevatel it. V'hachi tanya b'sifrei lo yira lecha seor batel b'libech. Umiu umau. I'm sorry. Inyan bittel. What is bittel? Ze muchach b'gemara gabe hadar min rabori tzarch sheivatel de bittel midin hefkerhu. So the Ran wants to say that bittel means hefker. As we'll see, it's interesting that the Ran starts off by saying that we learn bittel min haTorah from Tashbisu, but then he goes on like Tosfos and says bittel's midin hefker. Again, does hefker have anything to do with Inyani Pesach? Not at all. So the Ran comes out as this hybrid shita between Rashi and Tosfos. We'll see the Rashi and Tosfos in depth a little later, but Rashi ends up saying that Tashbisu is a chiddush by Hilchos Chametz and Matzah, and Tosfos says Tashbisu is Mishum Hefker. So the Ran quotes from Rashi as saying Tashbisu is learned out. Excuse me, Bittel is learned out by Tashbisu. But then he says, "What is Bittel? It's Hefker. What do you need to learn out Tashbisu Hefker from Tashbisu? Why don't just say Hefker is a din called Tarkula, which it is." So I don't know. Exactly. A lot of people worked very hard to try to figure out what to do with this line in the Ran. Fine. Let's go a little further. Skip a couple of lines. Bittel's definitely belief. So at the end of the line, a few lines down, it says v'su, and furthermore lamanda let's skip further than that. I'm saying v'kevan shekain, the next line v'kevan shekain bittel chametz rabbi yosi hechim mahani midin. I don't know, skip all this. I'm sorry. he's getting on a side point about how can you say bittel is hefker if there's some shittas in Maseches Nedarim that say that hefker doesn't leave your rishus until someone else takes it. So how can you say bittel works mitam hefker? All right, so yes, that's a kasha. There's an answer, whatever. Let's go to the next divra maschil. Shema tomar imkein ein lanu minatora ela bittel. So I would say, okay, now that we know that there's a din of bittel where you can just get rid of all the chametz by being mafkerit, so why should we have a din bedika and beer in the Torah at all? So ef shalach alomar kain the boy begemara bedika laora ner minolan umuchinan la mikroy. The Gemara is akasha. How do we know you're supposed to do bedikas chametz with a candle and we have psukim that teach us that a dafka has to be done lower on there? So that's his number one raya, that there has to be a doraisa inyan of bedika. So that's not such a strong raya, and the Ran recognizes that. He says, v'chitema das machta ba'almeninu lesa. Da'achazinan tanoi de'iflegu chamet zeb ma'amavaro. V'ikaman damar de'in bir chamet zel asreifa. So we have Rabbi Hud Shita, right? That ain bir chametz el asreifa. So he says, how exactly do we learn from the Torah that you have to eradicate the chametz? So even if you want to say that the pasuk that we learn out v'dikal or aner from is an asmachta, but at the end of the day we have other tanoim that are arguing, how do you do the beer? I'll tell you how do you do the beer. Bittel. So clearly, it's not so, because otherwise Rabbi Huda wouldn't be using psukim to try to learn out that you do beer chametz via sreifa. And that's on a Torah level. So how could it be that beer chametz via bedika and burning the chametz is not the raisa? And he brings raisa. No, skipping to the next Ramaschol. Elakach hu ikaran shel dvarim. This is the way it is. Sheze shamra Torah tashbisu yachol hiskayim be'echad mi beis dvarim. You can do it in one of two ways. O she yivata belibo kol chametz sheyesh b'rishuso v'yotzienu b'machshavaso mirshuso. V'sagi b'hachi midaraisa, afilu b'chametz hayadua lo. Right? So number one is, the number one way you can get rid of your chametz and not violate by Rabbi Matzeh is by doing bittel. And that even works on chametz yadua. You just have in mind that you want to be mevatel all your chametz. O, im lo bitlu b'libo klal, tzarech min ha-Torah, sheyivdok achara b'chol makam shu rogel li-matzeh sham. If you don't want to do bittel, you have to look over it everywhere where you normally put it. V'yivarenu min ha'olam, and then you have to destroy it. U'bebir zeh hu shenechleku ba'me yivarenu. And that's where the Tanaim argue, what method should you use for beer? U'leficho kol she'enu mevatel, chayev livdo kedei shelo yavar ala b'bayiroeh u'bal yimotzei. And if you're not going to do bittel, so then bedika becomes a doraisa means of ridding yourself of b'bayiroeh b'yimotzei. So it's really totally, says the Rana, whichever one you're going to do first. Whichever one you're going to do first, the other one is going to be derabanan. Right? So if you're going to do bittel chametz first, and then afterwards you're going to search out the chametz, so the bittel chametz was taking care of your problem midaraisa, and then midarabanan you still had a chiyuv to search out the chametz, for whatever reason we'll get to. Or on the flip side, if you did bedikas chametz first, and the bedikas chametz is doraisa, and the bittel you're going to do afterwards is to solve a derabanan problem. But either one is sufficient to solve the problem of bayirah bayimatzeh. Yeah?
Just clarification, Rashi, when he says on bedika, he doesn't say anything about bior. Are we assuming that when he's like referring to bedika, he's also saying bior as well?
What are you going to do with it when you find it?
I'm saying
Lamaisa, Rashi doesn't want you to just find it. All right, it's all found. Now I know where it is.
Right.
You have to plan on doing something with it afterwards. So that's a machlokes tanan. What do you do with it when you want to get rid of it? Do you have to burn it, or can you be mefar v'zora l'ruach?
Right.
That's the...
You have to do that to get out of bayir v'yimatzeh.
Yeah, of course, because otherwise just putting it all in one place and knowing that it's there doesn't really help. Right, so basically the Ran comes up with seemingly a compromise between Tosus and Rashi, where he says that avada, it's what Tosus is saying is true, because you can't argue with the Gemara. The Gemara says, bitl ba'alma is good, midaraisa, you're not going to violate bayir v'yimatzeh, so what's the answer? That if you did the bittel first, so in a chinami, you're not going to violate bayir v'yimatzeh in a perfect world. However, if you did the bedika first, then the bedika also solves that problem, and the bittel is solving a different problem. So now we have to figure out, so what is the purpose of doing the other one if you've already done the first? Right? If you did bedika first, why do you need to do bittel? So the Gemara already spells that out. But if you did bittul first, why do you need to do bedika? The Gemara doesn't spell that one out.
Yeah,
because the Gemara says bittul ba'al mesagil. So clearly you solved your problem derisa. Yeah. The Gemara says that about a guy who did bedika. Now why does he have to do bittul? So that's why I said the Gemara already tells you. So that's not what the Ran holds. The Ran doesn't hold that. That's what the there are Rishonim that hold that way, but the Ran doesn't hold that way. So let's take a look further in the Ran. Skipping a little bit. Oh no, not skipping so much. Let's continue. Lefichach kasev Rashi shebod kinesacham etz kedish lo yavar alav bayirav bayimatzei v'hainu lemisha eino mevatel. It's really enough to do bittul. You're not going to violate by yiroa. Ella, here we go. Ella mipneisha bittul zet tully b'machshavas and shel bnei adam. The ein deyosei and shavos. The efshar sheyiklu bekach. V'lo yotziuhu miliban legamre. Rochacham lahachmer shelo yaspik bittul v'tzrichuhu bedika ubiur. Shumaspik gamkein min haTorah. That's possibility number one, where he says that what's going to be the problem? You're going to do bittul, but the problem is sometimes people don't really mean the bittul. They don't really mean that they want to get rid of all their chametz. The guy owns a pizza shop. He's got $5,000 worth of pizza doughs in his freezer, let's say. So he's going to just say, it's all, anyone who wants to come get it can come get it. It's all gone. Really? He meant that for sure? We're definitely going to assume that that's 100% glot? I don't think we're a little nervous about that, says the Ran. And therefore, the Chachamim said, if you're just going to do bittul, even though in a perfect world, if you meant it, the bittul would solve your problem, it's not going to be enough, because we're choshish, you didn't do bittul, b'lev shalom. Yeah.
What did the Torah think?
The Torah foresaw it. The Torah gave you a mechanism. This is going to work. I mean,
I'm saying the Torah, obviously,
I don't know. I mean, I don't think that's. You could say that about all kinds of dinim derabbanan. Meaning every geder midrabbanan.
You see, some of these things come up in society. This is like a natural.
No, most geder midrabbanan isn't only because something came up and we saw people violating the din. It's just that like the chachamim looked at the din and they said, you know, like the Ramban by Ala Torah by Yoni Shabbos. The Ramban basically says all of the derabbanans on Shabbos are to make Shabbos like feel like Shabbos. So what, the Torah didn't want Shabbos to feel like Shabbos? The Torah was giving you the guidelines, and if you kept the guidelines the way the Torah really wanted you to, then Shabbos would taka feel like Shabbos. But since there's all kinds of loopholes and different ways where people could try to make Shabbos not feel like Shabbos, the Rabbanan asur things kilachar yad, and derech grama, and muktzah, and all the things that basically, you know, made Shabbos feel more like Shabbos once you're not trying to get away with not keeping Shabbos midoraisa, you know? So yeah, there's a lot of dinim derabbanan like that, where you could take the din deraisa and play around with it, and it's not going to work for you, so therefore the rabbanan said, let's just make it work. So this is another example where really midoraisa, you could have done bittul, but we're choshish that you really wouldn't have done a very good job of the bittul, and maybe it wouldn't be everybody in the generation. Most people would do bittul b'lev shalim, but plenty, you know, there would be a lot of people that didn't do bittul b'lev shalim. So the Rabbanan just said, you know what, let's make it into Pesach. You know, let's get rid of the chametz. No, this is a major problem. Let's say, people always say, what about this mechira, mechira's chametz? Yeah, ha, ha, ha. Right? It's not a real mechira. So ain't a chinami. So if you don't believe in it, if you don't think you really were makne your chametz to the Rav and the Rav sold it for you, then ain't a chinami. You can't rely on that mechira, But Lamaisa, you know, if you're doing it, you should believe in it, but we're choshes that you don't believe in it. So same thing with the bittul. The bittul is even less than mechira. Okay, so that's the first point. Then the Ran makes another very important point here. So the Ran says, Oh, mipnei shechashu sheim yashenu betoch beso yavol la'ochlo. Or a second possibility is that even though bittel is enough, if you would leave it around, we're choshish that you're going to eat it. That's what we found in Tosfos. Umashma the Tana de Masnisin, lo boy bittel klal elabedika. So I assume what the Ran is talking about here is that the Tana of our Mishnah didn't hold of the din habodik tzarech sheyivatel. Right? Who made that statement? Rav made that statement. Habodik tzarech sheyivatel. So Rav, you know, maybe considered Tana Upalik, but he wasn't the Tana of our Mishnah. The Tana of our Mishnah was not into such a takana derabanan of habodik tzarech sheyivatel. So Rashi, when he learned the Mishnah, said the Tana's kavana is shelo yavor b'bayirah b'yimatzi. That doesn't mean halacha l'maisa you shouldn't do bittel. It just means that the Tana is describing the function of bedika being that you don't violate b'yirah b'yimatzi. Because he wasn't going with the din of Rav, which is at bodik tzarech sheyivatel. Fine. All right, so it goes on, same idea, basically, that, and just recapping, so what we have here so far is, we have Machlokes Rashi and Tosfos. Rashi on the Mishnah says, the reason for Bedika is what? Bayira Bayimotze. Tosfos says, no. For Bayira Bayimotze, Bittel takes care of the problem. What's the reason for Bedika? Shelo Yavo Lochlo. Right? So the Ran says, they're both right. It depends which one you do first. Of course, if you do bittel first, the Gemara already said bittel ba'alma is good enough. And what if you do bedika first? So then that's also midoraisa. Excuse me. If you do bedika, that's also midoraisa, solving your problem of bayira bayimatze. And why then? Did they require, why do we have a din, abodik tzarech sheyivatel? So the Gemara spells that out in Vav Amud Beis. Abodik tzarech sheyivatel, what's the reason? Right? Shemi matze gluski yafa v'daito alei. Right? Maybe you're going to find a nice piece of chametz, and then you're going to have your das on it. What does it mean that your das is going to be on it?
Your bittel is not really going to be.
Well, no, we didn't do bittel. Remember, we said abodik tzarech sheyivatel. Right? So maybe you're going to find a nice piece of chametz, and then you're going to have your das on it. So what does that mean? So what? No, you did a proper bedika. This is on Pesach. Let's take a look at the Gemara. Just hold the place in the Ran. Take a look at the Gemara of Avam Beis. Right, so it starts in the two dots, three quarters of the way down or so. Amarav Yehuda Amarav. Habodik tzarech sheyivatel, my time. Let's skip a little bit. Oh no, we got to do this line. Well, I'll hopefully do a unit on pirurin, just a little bit lahachis, right? Just imishum pirurin. So you'll say, why do we need to do bittel? Because of pirurin, because of crumbs. You're going to violate bayira bayimatzi on crumbs. So the Gemara says clearly, ha lo chashive, they are not chashuv. Right, so you don't violate bayirah bayimatzah and crumbs. There is no such din. So apparently they just ruined Pesach for everybody. Right, my kids come home from school every year with the same thing. It says we do bedikas chametz to make sure there are no crumbs. Not true. Saying we're not doing bedikas chametz, we're not doing bittel chametz because of the crumbs. Now, don't make a mistake about this. Doesn't mean you're allowed to eat crumbs on Pesach. Crumbs are still chametz, but they're not chashuv to the extent that you're going to violate bayira bayimatzi on crumbs. That's where Rav Moshe has the shita. What do you do about checking your svarim? Right? The Chazanish, they say the Chazanish he didn't use any of his svarim on Pesach. He used a Rambam, I think. And he had one Rambam and the Chabina Rav's Chuvas, I think. That was it. Maybe he had a Shas too. I don't remember the Maisa. He had I'll go with a Shas too. Anyway, so yeah, in this version of the story, the Chazanish had a Shas, a Rambam, and the Chabina Rav's Chuvas. So they told the Chabina Rav that, and they said that, look how chashuv the Chazanish, the only thing he learns on, besides regular Gemara Rambam, is your Chuvas. So what did he answer? Right, so he says, that's a riot that he doesn't open it up the rest of the year. So, okay, nice. So the Chazanish was, what? You can't move without the Rambam, I'm saying. Okay, so So he was willing to check through his Shas and his Rambam, but all right. Maisa, the Minig Ha'olam, I believe, is not like the Chazon Ish. Rav Moshe, so Rav Moshe writes, what's going to be with the rest of Yisrael? What should you do? So he says, you don't really have to check them, because what's the Hava? I mean, you're not going to violate Bayi Rav, Bayi Matzah, and the crumbs inside the Svarim. But we're not Choshi Shema Yavala Ochlo, that you're going to see a crumb that's a stale crumb inside your sefer, and you're going to, oh, look, Kishmak, a stale crumb, and you're going to eat it. That we're not choshish for. So he says, but there are some times that you're going to learn at the table. So he said, so any sefer that you're going to learn at the table, that for sure you have to check. Because you don't want crumbs on your table that you're going to eat from, because it's still usher to eat crumbs that are chametz. You're not allowed to eat crumbs. So even if you hold, like the Gemara says, crumbs are not choshiv, so you definitely have to get all the crumbs out of the kitchen. Do you have to get the crumbs from underneath the mattress, you know, in the bedroom? So pashtus scissors aren't crumbs anymore. Rabbi Friedman said he likes to tell us, Baal Batim, don't forget that dirt is not chametz. So it's important to keep that in mind. You know, you want to clean the house, but dirt is not chametz. Okay, anyway, so the Gemara says, what about pirurin? So then the Gemara has an important question. Maybe not pirurin, maybe since it's mintar luhu agav beise, the fact that you would not allow someone into your house to steal your crumbs, because you're just not going to allow a burglar into your house. So maybe it's mintar agav beise, that makes it chashuv. So the Gemara tries to bring a raya that's not machshiv the stuff to make it into an iser by rab by matze. So finally, the Gemara concludes, Amar Rava, gzeira shem imatze gluska yafa v'daito ilave. Maybe you're going to find a nice piece of chametz, and you're going to think about it. You're going to have your mind on it. So then the Gemara says, b'chimish gachas le'levatle. So okay, so when you find it, then be mevatel it there. No, dilma mishkachas le'lebasar isura v'lav v'shuse kaima v'lo matzi mevatel. Because what's going to happen? You're going to find it after the zman iser chametz, and then you can't be mevatel it anymore. Why? Because it's not really yours. Damar b'lazar, shnei dvarim einan b'shusa shel adam v'asana kosav ki'ilu b'shuso ve'elu hein, the only, this one's for you, bor b'shusa rabim v'chameitz mishay shos l'mala. Right, so bor b'shusa rabim, whatever that is. So, right. The bor b'shusa rabim and chameitz mishay shos l'mala. So you're not... So you're not going to be able to be mevatel chametz after the zman iser, because it's not birshuscha, and therefore you can't be mevatel something which is not in your rishus. So going back to what it meant, v'daito alei, what does that mean that you're going to be thinking about it? So Rashi says over there, chashuva hi be'enov v'chas alei l'sorfo. You're not going to want to burn it right away. Umashe afilu rega echad v'nimtza over alei b'bayira b'yimatze. Right? So if you delay, you see the chametz, and your first thought is, oh, geschmack, look at that. Right? So you're excited about the chametz, and then like you sort of catch yourself afterwards, you're like, what am I thinking? I got to get rid of this. It's Pesach. So then you're going to violate Bayi Ra, Bayi Matzah at that moment. However, Ava Misha Bitla, but if you were Mevatel it, Eino Over Deloksiv Ela Tashbisu. You're not going to violate Bayi Ra, Bayi Matzah, because you already fulfilled what the Torah said to do. You did Tashbisu. And therefore, you're not going to have violated the Din Bayi Ra, Bayi Matzah. But what you see from Rashi is, if you did Bedika, and you didn't do Bitl, then when you found it, what's the halacha? You didn't violate Bayi Ra, Bayi Matzah retroactively, but you might violate Bayi Ra, Bayi Matzah mikanu lahaba. You might violate it from the moment that you're chas to be sorifit, that you don't want to destroy it right away. So according to that, we have to figure out what's the pshat. Why is it that if you check for chametz, and the Ran says you solved your problem in the Raisa, but you missed something, so I would have said, okay, you violated Bayi Ra, Bayi Matzah, b'shogig. You violated the Isser accidentally, you meant to get rid of all your chametz, but you didn't succeed. But what you see from the Gemara and Rashi, it's not so. It's only if it's a problem, if it's daito ale. It's only if you then are chas, milasorfo, that you violate it from that moment on. But let's say the minute you see it, I think Rav Aaron Lichtenstein once told the story that he was driving with Rav Soloveitchik on Pesach, on Chol Moed, and Rav Soloveitchik opened the glove compartment and there was some cake in there. And he said he like went nuts. Says Rav Aaron was trying to like give him a svara to calm down. It's you're ready. We did bittul. You're not in violation of anything. It's not. And Imamish was unconsolable. He said he really was so upset that there was chametz in the car on Pesach. He couldn't handle it. So Lamaisa, if you see the chametz and right away you say, oh, let's get rid of it. It's terrible. How can we have chametz? So then, okay, you didn't violate anything. So the kasha is, why not? Why didn't you violate it up until this point? So going back to the Ran now, the Ran says why. It's the last word on the line. Shema tomar l'mafreya over alei. Maybe you'll say that l'mafreya, he violated bayira bayimatze. Lesa, it's not so. Sha'arei samcha Torah ala chazakos. Because the Torah has a rule that you can rely on a chazaka. V'chol shebadak osan mekomo sheragil lihimatze men chametz yatzei dechovaso ve'en lo lachush bekikar b'shmei korah. U'lefichach tana demaznisa lo hiskir bitul achar b'dika klal. So he says there's no reason to assume that you're going to violate anything, because if you don't wind up finding chametz, and even if you do wind up finding chametz, you didn't violate anything because you had a chazaka that the house had no chametz in it. And if you checked all the places that you normally bring chametz, and there wasn't any chametz there, you have the right to rely on the chazaka. And that's... So it turns out your chazaka was wrong. But up until this point, you were relying on the chazaka and you were okay. Oh, once the chazaka turns out that it's not true, you can't rely on it further.
Okay, so the chazaka only helps you with mafreya.
Right. So that's why you're not going to violate bayira l'mafreya. But then when you find it, if you're chas milasorfo, then you're going to violate bayira mikano l'habaf, even for that one moment. Right, and that's where Rashi comes in. And then he quotes Rashi, Purish Rashi, Shem mitoch shedaito ilavei, yishe osa milavara, v'nimtza over alei, klomar mishas mitziyasa v'eilach, avo makame achi, lo, shekvar yatsi dechavasa v'bedika, ukidich sivna. Yeah.
So Zohar doesn't tell me that I didn't own that zechameitz from the outset. I did. I shouldn't have to know about it. So, still, why would the Zohar work? Why if it doesn't change, you know, the fact that I owned it from the outset of Pesach, so why would I not be over?
Right, so that's a good question. So we're going to have to be mavar a little bit. What is this chazaka actually accomplishing? Right, we have to figure out exactly what is the chazaka doing. Because in a chinami, a lot of chazakas, for example, what about the mikveh case, right? Mikveh, that's nimsa chaser. What's the halacha? You guys remember from last year? When you found out it was chaser, then what? Then on? No, but there's certain times where we're even going to passel everything. Right, so that's a question. Tosus has a little bit of a steerer there in the two cases. You remember that we did that in Ksuvos at all? There's different types. If there's a Tartila Reyesa, if there's only one Reyesa in the Chazaka. So, you guys do that at all? What? It depends how many Reyesa. All right, whatever. Don't forget about it. It's a Shev Shmaitza stuff. Anyway, so let's just assume for here. You didn't violate Bayira Bayimatse because you had a right to rely on the fact that the house was chametz free, and then when Ataka turns out that it's not chametz free, then you have a problem. You hear? Okay, so that's where we're holding right now in the Ran. One more point in the Ran. In the last Divra Maschel on this topic, he says, Umash etzrichu chacham bedikas chametz yoser mishari surin velo samchul ala bitul farkasati she'asu ken kedei lakayim etzis tashbisu she'choshu levnei adam sholei v'alu b'machshavos on the gamrei. So first of all, I told you the real reason is that we're afraid people are not going to be mevatel legamri. Second of all, v'mata omer shechoshu shelo yavo lo achlo ukedibri rishonim zal. If you're going to go with Tosis svara that it's shema yavo lo achlo, so hayne time at the choshu beit feim v'shari surim mishum the chametz lo bedili anishmine kulei kuleshata. Sorry, v'chomri surit feid is bekare. So he gives Tosis reasons. Number one, it's an isakare. Number one, it's lo bedili mine. Number two, isakares. That's why they said you got to get rid of it. And listen to this: the avshar ode. Maybe because of this reason, I assume what he means, this reason of lo bedili mine and of Issachares, the Torah itself gave you a din of bayira bayimatze. Really, it's possible, says the Ran, that maybe the whole din of Bayra Bayimatze is just a gzeira shema yavala achlo. Because we're choshish here, that's lo bedili mine, and it's an isakares, so we're afraid that you're going to eat it. And if, yeah?
Tosus
did not say this chiddush at the end.
But he does write that the Torah was machmir, giving it and adding on Bayra Bayimatze, so therefore we know to be machmir. Right,
Tosfos uses it the opposite way of the Ran. Tosfos says the Rabbanan were following the Torah's lead. The Torah was machmer by Rabbi Matze, so the Rabbanan were machmer. Here he's saying maybe that's why the Torah was machmer. This is an important side point. Rav Yonason Saxon, his sefer on Psachim, has an arichus on this side point on whether or not the pshat by Rabbi Matze was really a gzera to achila. Anyway, this is just important because there's a very famous shtickle that the Rabbi Yosef Engel has in the Sefer Lekach Tov. Lekach Tov, although Rabbi Yosef Engel's most famous Sefer might be Asvin Doraisa, but his most fun Sefer is most definitely Lekach Tov. Where he just like writes, how many of something can I find? And then you get to be done back and forth whether or not you like it, you don't like it, it's an amazing find, not such an amazing find, whatever. Just a very exciting sefer, happens to be. So in Simen Ches of the Lekach Tov, so Rabbi Yosef Engel decides, can I find any examples in Shas and Rishonim and Achronim somewhat, if there's something called a Siog Doraisa? Is there anything called a Din Doraisa where the Torah made a Din Doraisa to protect another Din Doraisa? So what's the first example he gives is the end of this Ran. He says that if you hold that the Pshat in the Ran is, that if you hold that the Pshat in Bayra Bayimatze is, that you violate Bayra Bayimatze so that you don't come to eat it, so then that Bayra Bayimatze constitutes a Siyag Minator. Anyway, he's got a ton of examples there of possible Siyag Minator. It's just, sometimes it's like one day in an Achron over there, but it's not necessarily... It's always exciting reading. Anyway, so that's important ha'ara in the Ran. Rav Sachs wanted to dray this out of a Rambam and Chametz Matzah a little bit. You'll tell me what you think. He wanted to say that in the first parak in Hilchos Chametz Matzah, the Rambam starts with the Isser of owning Chametz, or the Isserim of Chametz in general. Can't catch a break. So the... So he starts off. Kala ochal kezayis chametz bePesach mitchilas leil chamisha asar ad sof yom echad veEsrim Nisan bemezid chayv koris. Right, he says if you eat chametz bemezid, you're chayv koris. That's the first halacha in Hilchos Chametz Matzah. Right. All right. Continuing on a little bit in Halacha Beis, hachametz bePesach asar bahanoya. Halacha number two is it's asur b'hanoa. V'ameniach chametz b'shuso b'pesach afal pi shelo achlo over b'shnei lavin shenemar lo yira lecha seor b'chol gvulecha v'nemar seor lo yimatzei b'batecha. Halacha number three is even if you don't eat it, there's an isser by yira by yimatzei. So Rav Sachs wants to be medayik that why does the Rambam have to say, even if you don't eat it, you still violate Bayra by Matzeh? So it must be that there's a strong relationship between eating chametz and Bayra by Matzeh. It's not two separate Isurim. It must be that even if you manage to avoid the bigger lav, you still violated the smaller lav. And therefore, it's shaykh to say in the Rambam, like the Ran, that Vayira Ba'imatze is a siyog against eating. So what are you, Taina? That's not the way Rabbi Sachs phrase. I just assume that's the way he's reading the Rambam. He's saying that the fact that, why does the Rambam mention Achila? Why does he say, even if you don't eat it, you still violate Vayira Ba'imatze? Just say, if you, Meniach Chametz Bershu Sobe Pesach, skipping the words, Afapish Lo Achlo, just say, Over Bishnei Lavin Shenemar, you say the two psukim. So what's the pshat? Why does he say, Afapish Lo Achlo? Why does he say, even if you didn't eat it? Shouldn't have to say that. So he wants to say that because it's showing you the relationship between Achila and Bayra Ba'imatzeh. Bayra Ba'imatzeh has tried to protect you from eating it. You hear? So I'm not a believer in this particular diuk. I think that you can read the Rambam in a much simpler way. What can you save shot in the Rambam? Any ideas? Well, let's put it this way. How many times in the Torah do you violate an Isser for having something in your Rishus? Fairly infrequently. We'll point out at least one other time tonight, but fairly infrequent that we tell you that if you own something, you violated an Isser. So the Rambam is just telling you, he's introducing Bayra Ba'imatzeh as the Chiddush that it is. That's all. He's saying that Amaniach Chametz Bershus BePesach, Afal Pishelo Achlu, of course you're not allowed to eat it. But you should realize you still violated an Isser. That's the point. He's introducing the Chiddush of Bayra Ba'imatzeh by contrasting it with the standard dinim of Isurim. Most Isurim, there's no Isser to own it. Right? Last time we tried to say that some Achronim, including Rabbi Chanan, wanted to indicate from Tosfos that there might be an Isser to be Masha, Basar B'Cholav, and Kiloya Kerem, and all of this stuff inside your house. But no one's going to argue that if you held on to it, you violated an Isser. Saying that you could just say that, of course, there's a din, you should get rid of it. Nobody's saying you're violating an Isser when you don't get rid of it. So it's a huge chiddush to say that just because something's Asr Ba'ana, you mamish have a chiyuv to destroy it. You mamish have a chiyuv to get rid of it out of your house. So the Rambam is just introducing that chiddush by contrasting it with the normal din. The normal din is, there's an Isser Achila, there's an Isser Hana. So here he's saying, and here, if you kept it in your house, even though you didn't eat it, just know that there's an additional lav called Bayra Ba'imatzeh. I don't think you have to be medayich that there's a relationship per se between Bayra Ba'imatzeh and Achila. I'm not saying you can't be medayich, I'm just saying that it's not. I think this way is the simpler of the two readings. Okay. Fine. So that's a little bit of how we have from what we have from the Ran. Okay, so just to chazer what we did, we had Rashi saying the reason for bedikas Bayra Ba'imatzeh. We had the Rans, we had Tosfos saying it's no, bedika is the Rabbanan, Shema Yavo La'ochlo, only Bittles Daraisa. And then we had the Ran saying whichever one you did first is Daraisa, and the other one is necessary mid Rabbanan. Why? Because if you did bedika first, so the Gemara already says, if you don't do Bittel, maybe you'll find something afterwards, and the Mikana Lahaba, you're going to violate Bayra Ba'imatzeh. And if you do the other way, if you do Bittel first and you don't do Bedika, so we're afraid you weren't Mevatel Belev Shalim. So just Ari mentioned earlier, the sheet of the Rav on the Mishnayis, and it's also the sheet of the Rimi Lunil, that the reason, if you read the Tosas Yontif on that Mishnah, the Pshat seems to be that since Bittel is Belev, so we're going to be Choshish that he can be Choser Belev. So in other words, that's the problem. Meaning, if you just did bittel, so all you did was destroy it belave. So now, when you find it again, so you can be chozer on that bittel belave once you see it and it looks delicious. So you're going to. Right, so this is a highly questionable mahalach for a number of reasons. If you want to do some homework, there's a Rashash on Vav Amid Beis who has a certain kasha against the Rav. But I don't even understand how the whole thing gets started. When are you finding it that you're reacquiring it? When are you finding it? On Pesach? So if you find it on Pesach, you even have the ability to be chozer on your bittel? That's a big chiddush in and of itself, no? Saying the Gemara said, why not be mevatel it then? So the answer is, it's not in your rishus, legabe bittel. It's only in your rishus for the bed. Right? That's the Gemara basically says. There's only two things that you own, but only for the bed. Right? You don't own them for any other purpose, but the Torah holds you liable. Bor b'shus harabim and chametz.
That means you can't reacquire it?
I don't know. You can't unacquire it. So if you can't unacquire it, who says you can reacquire it? Belave? Saying you're gonna be able to be chozer on your bittel. Let's say bittel's mitam hefker for a second. So you're allowed to be mafker something, and then it's halachically outside of your rishus min haTorah, and then you're gonna reacquire it. Believe? I don't know. It sounds a little. But that's not what he says. He says you're gonna be chozer on it. Believe? I don't know. Whatever. It's look in the Rishashi. It's a different problem. Anyway. But on the question of the chazaka, Rav Soloveitchik points out in the Harei Kedem, in the first siman in the Harei Kedem. So he quotes a sefer Or Gadol on the Mishnayos. He says he doesn't understand how the chazaka really works here. So he says the general idea is that we have a chiyuv of tashbisu. We have a chiyuv to get rid of our chametz, and in order to be mekayim that tashbisu, we actually have to do it. So how can you have a bedika that's set up meikara that's going to have to rely on a certain chazaka if at the end of the day the chazaka is not able to tell you that you did the mitzvah? Chazaka is not able to tell you that you actually accomplished the din of getting rid of all the chametz. It's just telling you that you have the right to assume that the house is clean of chametz. But lemaisa, who says that you actually did the mitzvah? Chazaka is not going to make it so that you actually did the mitzvah. The chazaka is just telling you that you have the right to assume that nothing is inside, there's no chametz in your house. So how could you have such a din, once the Torah is mechayiv you in tashbisu, how could there be such a din that you only have bedika and biur without bittul, and that's going to work midaraisa, because the chazaka can't help you be mechayim a mitzvah. Can't do that for you. Yeah.
You're saying that in places where you don't have to check, that we're saying you can rely on the chazaka?
Places that you don't have to check, you can rely on chazaka. Or let's say you checked, you thought you did a good job, and now you're going to rely on the chazaka that you taka did do a good job, but really there is some chametz there. So did you do the mitzvah? Didn't you do the mitzvah? So forgetting about whether or not you violated the issur l'mafreya, which is also obviously important, but you can't say, well, I did a mitzvah because the chazaka says that I did a mitzvah. That's not how chazakas work. So in order to understand the pshat, he gives a very important hakdama, and I mentioned this on Monday, I think, when we're talking about the first Rambam in Hilchos Chagiga. So we, in order to understand this, he starts off with a different steer in the Rambam. So that if you look in the Rambam Hilchos Chametz Umatzah, so it's Halacha Gimel, the next Halacha, I didn't read it yet, red Aleph and Beis. Let's take a look at Halacha Gimel for a second. So he says, Eino loke mishim lo yirav lo yimatze elim kein kona chametz bepesach. So he says, really, you can violate by Rabbi Matzah and get Malkus for it. You have the ability to do this. Because you can buy chametz on Pesach, or you can bake chametz on Pesach. You can knead some flour and water together and wait for it to rise. That's also going to be a Maisa where you acquired chametz. Avlim hayelo chametz kodem haPesach. But if you just didn't get rid of your chametz, you kept it around. So right? You don't get malchus because you didn't do a maisa in the violation of the lav. This is a very important yisod in the Rambam. I think last semester and last year we did it also, we talked about the famous Shita of the Tumim, about whether or not it's mevarer something about the lav, if the lav is a lav shein bo maisa, is it a lesser violation if it's a lav shein bo maisa than a lav sheyesh bo maisa. You remember that at all? So this is an important Rambam that has to be understood in that context as well. He says, basically, you can do the lav with a maisa, or you can do the lav without a maisa. If you do it with a maisa, you get malchus. If you do it without a maisa, you don't get malchus. So it's not necessarily a din in the lav itself, whether we're going to categorize the lav as a lav sheyesh bo maisa, lav shein bo maisa. The lav can be accomplished in two ways. So it depends how you do it. You hear that? I don't think we spoke about that at all yet. But it's an important thing to fit into our view of how lav shein bo maisa works. But not for now. So that Rambam has to be contrasted with the Rambam we did on Monday, which we said that if you have a chiyuv to bring an ola sri'iyah when you come to the Beis HaMikdash, right? And if you come without an ola sri'iyah, so then you violated the isser of lo yirah panai rekum. You're not supposed to show up empty-handed. But you don't get malchus. Why? Lav shein bo maisa. So we asked at the time, we said, what are you talking about, lav shein bo maisa? You walked into the Beis HaMikdash empty-handed. Right? So why is that less of a maisa than buying some chametz? Right? And furthermore, we have another... we have another din in the Rambam in the seventh parak of Hilchos Geneva, parak Zion Alacha Gimel. Kol misha masha beveso o bechanuso mida chasera o mishkal chaser over below sase shenemar lo etc. He quotes the pasuk. He says that you violate an iser daraisa by having faulty weights and measures inside of your house. Right, even though you're not going to actually use it, you're not currently using it for sales, and you don't get malchus for this lav because of lav shein bo maisa. Right? So what do we see from here? What doesn't the Rambam say? What doesn't the Rambam say that he should have said? Not if you use it, but if you buy them, then you get malchus. If you make them, let's say you have regular weights, it says 5 pounds, and you decide you're going to shave some off the side. So you should get malchus for that maisa of shaving. That's like baking chametz. That's like buying chametz. Why is that different? So on one hand, we have Bayra Bayimatze, where you can violate it al yidei maisa if you purchase or make some chametz for yourself. And on the other hand, we have, right, faulty weights and measures, and we have coming to the Beis HaMikdash without a korban ola, where you're doing a maisa, or you could do a maisa, and the Rambam doesn't say anything about it. So this is the kasha that the Rav Soloveitchik has. So what he says is very poshut. Once you have these Rambams juxtaposed, you see that there is a difference between what the Isser is by the case of Korban Molas Re'iyah / faulty weights and measures versus Bayira Bayimatze. When it comes to the Olas Re'iyah type cases, what's the Isser? Is the Isser to walk into the Beis HaMikdash empty-handed? Absolutely not. If the Isser was to walk into the Beis HaMikdash empty-handed, then it would taka be a lav sheyesh bo maisa, and you would get malchus for it. The Isser is to be empty-handed. So if the Isser is to be empty-handed, that can't be done al yidei maisa, no matter how many times you walk in and walk out. The Isser is to not have a korban. That Isser can only be violated without a maisa. Yeah.
Why not like the last possible second, though?
You're not. There's no maisa associated with the lav at all. It's not shaykh to do a maisa to not have a korban. Even if you have the korban and then the second before you go and you throw it away,
the entire scope of your trip, if you didn't bring it, then that's a mice of not bringing.
There's no such thing as a mice of not bringing something. That's impossible. Saying, if you're going to say that the Isser is to walk in empty-handed, that's a Maisa. If you're going to say the Isser is to be empty-handed, that's not a Maisa. Same thing with the weights and measures. If the Isser is simply having them on your property, then you can't violate that Isser via Maisa. It can't be done. The Isser is just to have these things inside your house. Bringing them inside your house is not the Isser. The Isser is them being there. So that's those types of Isurim. So when you contrast that with chametz, what's the Isur by your Rabbi Matzeh? So Rav Soloveitchik says, what's the Isur? To be machzik, to hang on to the chametz in your Rishus, is the Isur by your Rabbi Matzeh. Not simply having it in the house. Having it in the house is not enough. It has to be that you have it and you're sort of clinging to it. So that's the idea. And therefore, since the Isser is to cling to the chametz, it's to want the chametz, to be machzik it in your rishus, so then that is shayach to do ayidei maisa. And be'etzem, it is a lav sheyesh bo maisa, but it can be done both ways. It can be done by simply not getting rid of your chametz. That's being machzik onto your chametz, but not via maisa. Versus, you can go full out and be machzik the chametz by actually going and getting some, or by baking some, and in that way you're going to violate it bepoel, and you're going to be chayv malchus. So it's dafka the kiyum, it's dafka the fact that you want it and you have it and you cling to it that makes it alav sheyesh bo maisa, and that's really what the iser bayira bayimatzeh is all about. So he says, maybe that's the shot in the Ran when he says that you can rely on the chazaka. What does it mean you can rely on the chazaka? Because when the chi of tashbisu is the converse of bayira bayimatzeh. What does that mean? It means that when you have a chi of to try to eradicate the chametz, it's the opposite of trying to be machzik it. And we'll get back into this further when we explain Rashi Shita of Bittul. It makes a lot more sense. That the whole yisod of tashbisu is that I want this chametz gone. I don't want it. So therefore, by searching out the chametz and trying to rid yourself of it, you're accomplishing exactly that. You're basically doing the opposite of what it means to be machzik the chametz. You're trying to search it out and get rid of it. Let's say you missed something, but if you only missed something by accident, if you only missed something based on the right that you had a chazaka to assume that it was all gone and you had no reason to suspect that there would be any more chametz anywhere else in your house, then essentially you did do the mitzvah. You eradicated everything you knew about, and that's what the Torah wants you to do. You can't be accused of holding on to some chametz bepoel if you really tried to get rid of it all. So that's what it means the Torah has the right to rely on chazakas. Meaning you're relying on the chazaka that you actually did a good job, but once you understand that the good job is simply requiring the opposite of being machzik the chametz in your rishus, then we understand the chazaka perfectly. You hear? It's a very important way to understand the Isser Bayira Bayimatzeh. It's not the same as simply having it around. You have to have it around, and that's what Rashi really means. Shem Yimatzeh Gluska Yafeh V'daito Aleh. What does it mean V'daito Aleh? Oh, you're very happy that you have it. That's what Bayira Bayimatzeh is all about. If you have it and you don't want it, then that's not Bayira Bayimatzeh, because you're not being machzik in your Rishus. You're not saying, I own it? Great. That's exactly what I want. When it comes to weights and measures, even if you don't want them there, if they are in your rishus, you still violated the Isser. Even if you were never planning on having them, using them, nothing. Yeah.
So you're saying that the Dika makes it seem that it's as if you don't want to be machzik in the right, in the chametz. And so therefore what? Therefore it's not doing the, you're not doing the Isser, or it just shows that you don't want, like, you don't want this maisa? I don't understand.
The mitzvah of tashbisu is the opposite of bayira bayimatzeh.
Right.
So what's that? If bayira bayimatzeh means wanting it around, wanting to hold on to it. So then what's tashbisu? Wanting to get rid of it. Showing how you don't want it. Right? So once you did your best to show that you don't want it, who cares if you missed something? You have the right to rely on the fact that you got it all. So just like normal cases, we say that you have a chazakah, that you took care of business, so that's going to be good enough here, even for the positive mitzvah aspect of it. Kal v'chomer for the retroactive ramifications, that's for sure not going to be a problem.
Which only gets you out of the issue of doing the maisa, but doesn't tell you that you're not over by your matzah just by doing the dika.
You can't do a maisa unless you do a maisa. I'm saying the act of being machzik the chametz in your rishus is not a maisa if you didn't actually go and get any.
Right.
So the bedika doesn't save you from the maisa; it saves you from being machzik the chametz in your rishus. It basically says. Correct, meaning you do the mitzvah by taking care of the issue. Everybody agrees to that. That when you do tashbisu, you're saving yourself from bayira bayimatzeh. That's for sure true. So saying that, therefore, once we understand what bayira bayimatzeh is, we understand how tashbisu makes sense to be mitzdarf to the chazaka. All right, leave it at that. What? Yeah, first simon in Chelik Beis.